The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back. We're into the second hour. Good morning to you if you've just after joining us. Thanks so much for all your comments this Monday morning. Great to kick the week off with so much interaction. A caller says the Dáil is sitting this week. They won't sit next week or St. Patrick's week. TDs have agreed to meet the Minister for Disabilities. The Dáil doesn't have to be sitting for TDs to meet the Minister. Fantastic. Great to get that information out there. I appreciate the correction. A caller says the bridge was built. It's just in Fannad. Letterkenny needs a ring road, never mind a bridge. Ara, would you get your hands off the Fannad Bridge? That's an old one that people often come out with. It opened up for a great proportion of people in the Fannad area, much of access to stuff, much shorter journeys and what have you. It is a beautiful bridge, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, they got the bridge. So going to have to come up with something else for Letterkenny. Greg, read the traffic problems in Letterkenny. Not only are the powers that be not fixing things, but they intend to add to it. The road between Newmills and Letterkenny is wedged every school morning with tailbacks and traffic completely blocked. Now we hear they're going to build hundreds of houses near the GEA grounds. Imagine that, adding to the already wedged road. Greg, there were six cars in front of me trying to get on the George Bowl roundabout coming from Culhame, 15 minutes, and someone is looking to build more houses over this road. Roads and planning are terrible. Why can't we have a double bridge, one in, one out at the Polestar? Greg, I'd like to know, how is the air quality around Letterkenny at the minute with all the traffic congestions? I wouldn't be running or walking the place. I'll check that out because there is a website and you can check what it was like on Friday, actually. So leave that with me if I remember. I'll try and do that during the ads. Something now especially, I'll come back to that actually, because we're going to be talking, of course, to GEA with Brendan Devaney a little later on in the programme. What did you think of the Donegal game, the football game yesterday, the men's football game? It was not fantastic to watch. The last 10 or 15 minutes were good. Brendan Devaney was there, of course, so I'm interested to get his assessment. And Jim McGuinness was commenting afterwards, and I wouldn't mind maybe pulling up a couple of clips of what Jim McGuinness had to say, maybe, just in terms of player tiredness. And we've kind of spoken, and I'm sure Brendan has on his podcast, but on Mondays, about whether or not it's a, if you're safe in Division 1, do you really need this playoff game, and why is the playoff game there? I think Jim McGuinness referenced sponsors, and I get that, but if you say, for instance, you want to switch it over to the Scottish Premier League, for an example, Rangers are probably, what were they, 16, 17 points behind Celtic at the moment. So can you imagine getting to the end of all of that and then Rangers and Celtic play off and Rangers win? It would be like, well, what's the point of the league? And I don't mind if the roles were reversed, but you get my point. If you finish top of the league, then take a 2 or 3 week break, and then the playoffs isn't a poison chalice for some. But anyway, as I say, I'll keep that comment to when Brendan's on with me. I haven't ignored it or brushed past it, by the way. Triple lock of soldiers is terrible. We voted on this before. We voted to send materials, not men. Our men will be sent away to be killed. I messaged the local minister to express my disgust and dismay. We shouldn't have to send our men away. I sincerely hope that they aren't sent away. Our Irish don't deserve to be slaughtered. The only role for Irish soldiers at this point, and some might say people are trying to change it over time, is that it's in a peacekeeping situation. I mean, would you pull the soldiers out of the Lebanon, for an example? You just might want to cover that small thing called the war in Ukraine, which peace and ceasefire might affect our country hugely. And why did Micheál Martin donate more money to Ukraine and our neutrality? We hold the media to blame for the lack of real debate. Well, I literally, at the start of the programme, mentioned that situation, inviting callers on to speak about it. We are going to be, hopefully, speaking to an expert. And experts, generally, we try and get them as impartial, but I much prefer having the conversation with the people. We love our guests, don't get me wrong, but you know, it's your views, it's your money, it's your family. I would have much more... I'd add much more weight to the views of the public. This accusation that the media are trying to stifle debate when I literally said, let's talk about it. But anyway, maybe that person wasn't listening at the start of the programme. A caller believes the hospital car park is a joke. You get 4 hours for €3, or they offer you 24 hours for €6. When you go to pay, you see that the parking ends at midnight, even if you're visiting at 8 p.m. You could be caught out easily. Please be aware when paying for parking, it's not a real 24 hours. We'll have to double check that one, because it's the kind of information that this person has sent on in earnest, but I don't want to give out wrong information either. Could you check if this is true? When you now attend Now Doc, they no longer put stitches in. You have to attend the ED. Now, they say because the services were being sued too often for scar issues. I'm not sure about that. But we did, I think we did have a conversation about this previously. Do Now Doc put stitches in? What was that person a couple of weeks ago that went up to Now Doc? Was it stitches? It was something they felt could have been done on site, but then they ended up in the ED. A caller says, we've been in Europe since 1970, the same time as Spain. Compare our roads to Spain. I'd like to know why we have poor infrastructure regarding roads compared to the highways and fabulous motorways in Spain. Someone was sleeping at the wheel when funds for roads were being handed out. Hi, Greg. Totally appalled at Simon Harris's suggestion, given Ukraine millions of Irish taxpayers' money, to continue a war that's not going to end. Only thousands more young men being killed. They need to be concentrating on getting a peace deal, not more weapons of war. Our country's a mess in regards to housing, health and education for the many children with autism who are unable to find a place in a special needs school. Crime's on the rise. These are the problems he and Micheál Martin need to be sorting, not millions supporting wars. Irish people need to wake up before it's too late. And, of course, this this threat that Russia then could sort of encroach further or deeper into Europe as well, the thing I can't figure out in that, and I'm not saying it wouldn't happen, is that they launched a ground invasion of Ukraine and they expected to take Kyiv in a matter of days. And for the most part, bar aerial attacks, they have been confined to about a fifth of the east and south of Ukraine. So if they couldn't push forward as they had intended, because you remember they went up north and were looking to come down south towards Ukraine, or to Kyiv, sorry. If the Russians couldn't push forward and take one city in Ukraine, really, do they have the capability to encroach on Europe? We've got 500 million people in Europe. There's 300 million in America, 140 million in Russia. You know, is the threat as it's being portrayed? Again, that's a genuine question, because at this point, I try and source information from different places and I'm finding it hard not to get one very extreme side or the other. If the person who said a bridge wouldn't solve the Letterkenny traffic problems lived on the Remelton or Kilmack side of the town or used it daily, he'd or she'd have a better idea of why the lack of one causes the traffic chaos. Indeed. Greg, war is folly. It's futile. Mr. Martin and Simon Harris will never be blown to bits on the front line, but our children and grandchildren will if these two carry on as they are. No care that we want our neutrality maintained and the slaughter of so many innocent people stopped. If Shannon Airport is confiscated for fueling war planes, etc., our country will be in a war situation too. Our country, economy and lifestyle will be destroyed. The lives of the innocent doesn't seem to matter to the cushioned world leaders who are acting as if playing video games. No wonder there is no money for essential services like you're discussing this morning, when our government is throwing so much away to facilitate more war and possibly World War III. And, you know, in one thing I would say, and this is where I was confused and keen to open up the conversation, is that Donald Trump, who I don't hate or don't love, I'm really quite indifferent, but on matters that might affect us, when he did reference thousands of soldiers that were dying in the course of these conversations, 2,000, more than 2,000 in the last week, you know, that is something that I often think about when the lights are off and I'm lying in bed thinking, what's going on and what's it for? I don't know. Maybe these are heroes saving the Western world. Again, I'm sure many people are like me, are keen for it to be discussed. Let us know what you think. 086 60 25,000. Would love to speak to people on air too on that, or anything for that matter. All right, back with more shortly. Now, if you were listening to the Business Matters podcast, or indeed our chat about business last Wednesday, you would know that Local Enterprise Week is launching today. Brenda Hegarty, Head of Enterprise at the Local Enterprise Office, often referred to as Leo, joins me, not Brenda now, the office, joins me in studio now. Good morning to you, Brenda. Thanks so much for your time.
Good Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
I think people are pretty au fait with the work that the local enterprise office does. But no harm, just a wee recap, because people are tuning in and out or life circumstances changing all the time. So how would you describe the work and role of the local enterprise office?
Yeah, well, the local enterprise office was set up over 10 years ago, really to help people to plan, start and grow small businesses. So we are the small business agency. We are sponsored by Enterprise Ireland. We are based within the County Council. So anybody who is thinking, starting, growing a business, employing up to 50 employees, we have a range of financial supports, training, expertise and events that will help grow our small business economy in Donegal.
Yeah, because when we say small, right, we have small, medium and then large. But small up to 50 employees, really in terms of output and employment, really quite significant. And, you know, good, stable, often local jobs as well, you know, that we often see hanging around.
Exactly. Like Donegal is a county of small businesses. It's the lifeblood of our local economy. So it's so important, regardless if they're in the services, retail, manufacturing, trading internationally, all businesses make a big impact on our local economy. They're creating jobs.
I beg your pardon, sorry. In terms of supports for business, Brenda, when do people often come to you? Is it maybe with the seed of an idea, maybe to thrash it out to see if it's viable or if there's a market or if there are supports there? Is it when maybe, you know, there's a business with two or three employees and they can see a pathway to growth, but how do you scale up? Or maybe it's a mixture of all.
It's a mixture of all. So we get people who are just thinking, they have an idea and they want to grow that, and maybe they'll progress to a Start Your Own Business program or one of our accelerator programs. Or they may be already in business, they see a pathway to growth, as you say, and they will lean into the local enterprise office, maybe for employment support, investment in equipment, machinery, maybe access into new markets at home and abroad. Or they could be in business and maybe facing a particular challenge, maybe rising costs. The cost of doing business now is very challenging. And they may come to us to look at programmes like Lean that'll drive internal efficiencies. Digitalisation is so important now, maybe looking at new technology, investing in skills and training.
AI.
So all of that, yeah, AI. So obviously the sustainability and green challenge and being able to adapt to that climate, the new world of climate and resilience.
And there, of course, obviously it's about supporting ideas, you know, harnessing growth and what have you. But sometimes do people need a bit of a reality check as well? And I mean that in the most positive way. In other words, you know, speaking to a group of experts that have been there, done that, or know what the story is and say, well, maybe this is not exactly the direction. I don't want to in any way to be negative, but sometimes that bit of advice can help too.
Well, sometimes it is a reality check of just unpacking what their idea is, making sure that they've thought of different opportunities, different challenges, how they mitigate and be able to address those rather than going blindly into something and maybe hit a wall. The opportunity through the local enterprise office, our team or our experts, is to be really a friendly challenge to a business to make sure that things have been thought out, that they've thought different opportunities, different obstacles that might be on their way.
But what a fantastic way to get an external set of eyes.
Exactly.
And often in a really progressive, positive way, but just sometimes you need a different set of eyes on it.
You have to have that positive challenge, and that's really, I suppose, the opportunity, a sounding board, an opportunity to unpack and encourage as well as lead a business in terms of what the next steps could be.
We had the Highland Radio Hospitality Awards last night, and obviously it was great fun and joyous, and everyone was having the crack. But I couldn't help but notice, because we drew people from Ballyshannon to the north of the county, east and west and in the middle. And it's just actual sort of networking and engaging. And I have no doubt relationships or deals or something was struck last night, right? And I'm talking about networking, really. How important is that, do you think, in business in this county? And what role do you see Leo playing in that?
Yeah, absolutely essential, because business is all about people and is about building relationships and connecting with the right people, whether that's you're building your team, your employees, whether it's your customers, whether it's engaging with public services. So all, and Local Enterprise Week is a great week to build your network, to go out and learn about how others are doing things and maybe take some learning back into your business, maybe build connections into new customer opportunities or maybe new employees mm-hmm. or skill set. So really meeting people and engaging, and that's what Local Enterprise yeah. Week is. And really today we're kicking off with a focus on networking. So we have an expert in relation to how to build your network, not just expand your network, but sometimes about deepening your network of really mm-hmm. honing in to those that you need to be connected to and how best you can build that network.
So. Yeah, for sure. And a lot of, and that kind of networks, business, they support each other. I was in a town recently and I was in a lovely restaurant. And I was talking to the manager and there was another establishment opening up across the road. Now, in my naivety, I would think that they'd be going, oh, right. But no, they saw this is fantastic because it brings more people in and it's healthy and all that type of stuff. So that's my sort of business naivety, if you know what I mean. Right, so let's get to some of the events then. Today's event, is it too late for people to attend? Or...
No, they can.
Okay, so what's happening today then and who's the expert?
So today is the start of Local Enterprise Week. So we have a focus on networking and building your business network, which is key foundation to success. So Kingsley Aikens, who would have worked as an expert in networking, worked with the Ireland Funds, is coming to give a keynote address. It's kicking off at 12:30 with a light lunch in the Radisson in Letterkenny. So it's still time maybe just to book online, as with all of our events, localenterprise.ie.
And speaking of online, and it is a packed week, there's locations all across the county and online exclusive stuff as well. So you've gone out of your way to make it, because, you know, for some people, they see the online stuff as a barrier, but we were forced into it. And now it's opened up opportunities for people who can't maybe travel or they're too busy or what have you. So there's a nice mixture of in-person in different locations around the county, but also that online stuff for those that can't make it.
Yeah, we have a blended approach here. Most of our events are in-person, but there is live broadcast from today's event and again on Friday. So people that can't attend maybe can tune in and see what is happening. And then, as you say, there is some online exclusive events that people can access from the comfort of their own office or home.
So tomorrow is a very busy day. We can't really go through them all, but one of the online events, Adopting Digital and Green Technologies to Transform Your Tourism Business. Another, Believe and Achieve Essential Financial Insights for Growing Your Business. Another, Innovation Exchange Preview, Your Gateway to Ireland's Innovation Marketplace. That's actually in Inishowen, the Inishowen Innovation there. Down in Donegal Town, Taxation and Company Law, Top Tips for SMEs. And on it goes, Revolutionising Business, The Power of AI and VR. That again is Inishowen Innovation. So it's a good spread and lots of different stuff there. And the best thing we can do, I suppose, is direct people to Leo's platforms to so people can pick and choose what suits them.
Yeah, so everything that you're referencing now is in our catalogue, and it's an online catalogue as well. So if people want to browse what is on, if they go to localenterprise.ie/Donegal, they'll see all of the events plus the links to book their event, because most of our events are being hosted by external bodies like the ATU and ETB and a wide range, Donegal Women in Business Network. So a wide range of partners are hosting individual events and they're all included online. But yeah, there's a great opportunity to learn and grow. As you rightly said, you know, tomorrow is about developing and retaining talent and skills, and that's so important in today's world, as well as looking at the new technologies like AI, looking at green and digital. So yeah, a wide range of events.
Of course, because, you know, and it's different challenges in different sections of business. Like we have, I'd speak to businesses either off air or on air, you know, massive businesses, hugely successful, but struggling to find key staff in certain areas. So they know they can even grow bigger. It's just connecting with retaining the right people.
Yes, and a lot of it is just practical actions that some businesses took, and some that worked out and some that didn't. And that's the nice thing about Local Enterprise Week. You learn warts and all. It's not all about the good days in business. It's about the challenges and how businesses overcame them. So it is great to come along and hear what others are doing. And some very large businesses, like a lot of our foreign direct investment companies, they're speaking at some of the events. So they have some tips on how large companies navigate challenges, as well as some of our smaller businesses, again, highlighting what they've done in business, what has worked for them, and maybe what hasn't worked so well and what they would do differently.
Yeah, another example back in Letterkenny on Wednesday, no code, big impact, advanced ChatGPT for problem solvers, not programmers, that's in the collab. And the next day then in the collab, how to make innovation work in a hybrid environment. Century Cinemas then is hosting Believe in Branding and Visions, building a strong identity for business success. That's really important, actually, because you have people who are, they're experts in everything, right? But they can do stuff to a T. But sometimes you need to learn a new set of skills or engage with a different person who can do stuff like maybe marketing or branding that you can't do. And you get that training or those minds meet and, you know, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, branding is so important. And like globally now, everything's moving so at such a fast pace. So you have a very little narrow window of opportunity to make your brand stand out among the noise that's currently in the mm-hmm. world. So it's how to hone in to experts who know what works and how best you can connect and make your story known in a very busy world and marketplace.
I mean, if you went back 10 years ago and some of the businesses now that have full-time social media people working for them,
yeah.
you would have thought, really? But that's the way it is now. You know, radio advertising is massive. Digital advertising has its important space as well, but also you have to reach your people directly in the right way and all that. So things are changing all the time and evolving. Right, what do you want to add? We've covered quite a lot there, Brenda. I suppose it's really to get people to have a look at the catalogue, either the physical or online one, because they'll see stuff that resonates with them. And is it clearly, like, say, for instance, today's event, that people can watch it live or watch it back? That's all made very clear for them too, isn't it?
Yes.
Brilliant.
So
okay.
Whether the event is in person or online, it's made known. There is a range of sectors, particularly honing in on the sectors of strength within Donegal.
Tourism.
So there's a big tourism conference now in the Mount Erical on Wednesday. And then our showcase at the end of the week is a particular very significant day where we are highlighting what is great about Donegal mm-hmm. and looking at business leaders and also leaders in sports. So we have Joe Barr, Jim McGuinness and Patsy McGonigal speaking on our sporting panel, as well as our business panel, which is Caroline Faulkner, Willie McCarter and Edward McDade.
And I think that's a good relationship because, you know, the likes of Jim McGuinness and Patsy McGowan, we have arguably overachieved in the world of sports, you know, be it soccer, Gaelic, athletics particularly, badminton, you know, track and field. Business can learn a bit from that too, can't they? Because, you know, there was at one point there was no proper structure for athletics. Next thing you know, we've got your Mark Englishes and we've got, you know what I mean? Boxing's the same. We've got Jason Quigley fighting for world championships. We've got Jim McGuinness blazing a trail across all sports, but now with Donegal and on it goes. You know what I mean? So business and sport, some cross-learning there, isn't
there's
there?
There's a lot of cross-learning in terms of lessons in both of them. Mm. You know, building individual performance as well as team performance, looking at leadership, looking at communication, resilience, courage, all of those themes. And again, that then is complemented with a showcase of our artisan food businesses. So we have over 30 food and creative businesses that's open to the public to come and see what is being made in Donegal and some of our wonderful businesses that are little hidden gems right across
for
the
sure.
county.
Indeed. So, and in fairness to Chris, Chris Ashmore with our Business Matters podcast, he's discovering these gems all the time. It's amazing the businesses that are ongoing. Obviously, there's some obvious stuff, but like just really big businesses that you wouldn't be aware of. And back yourself. I think, you know, it's like another way of describing what's on the front of this book. Believe, bring your business to the summit. Back yourself.
Yes.
That's what you have to do in sport, don't you?
It's just that belief in your idea and your ability to make an impact and make a change and really contribute to our local economy, because we are so dependent on these businesses. And it's a great opportunity this week to celebrate and highlight what is great about business in Donegal and hopefully that we can all get behind them.
Right, and the layoff is there for everyone. You know, some people might say, oh, you know what, you know, that's not for me, that's for that. That's not the case. This is an office that will support you or encourage you or whatever it might be from that seed of an idea, or as we've talked earlier on about ramping up different markets, etc. That's what the Leo office is there for, yeah, amongst so much else. All right, Brenda, I'll let you go because you've got a busy week, haven't you? Brenda Hegarty, Head of Enterprise at the Local Enterprise Office, thanks so very much for calling in for a chat.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. I just want to read this out to you. And it reads as follows. We are the family of Joshua, who is presently in Dublin Hospital following Friday night's collision. We just want to say that we, the Montgomery and Scanlon families, are extremely grateful for all of your prayers. Our deepest sympathies go to Sharon and Michael and Rosa and Damien. And we continue to pray for Lorraine and her husband. All of you, the public, have been outstanding. Please continue to pray for all of the families involved. And we are. Thank you. And you're very much in our thoughts, and I know that from just engaging and speaking with people that it's just absolutely devastating, but we will continue to keep you in our prayers. Some other comments that are coming in so far this morning. Greg, as someone who works within the Care Doc system, which now runs NowDoc in Letterkenny, there is an order from the owners of Care Doc because doing stitches is time consuming, and in the hour they spend doing that, they may in fact see four other paying patients. It's about money, this caller believes. So someone who claims to work within the care system, I'm sure Caroline's verified that, they say that it's about time. It's not about fear of litigation and what have you. Greg, why would anybody do an NCT test was on the road between Buncrana and Coghill. It's shocking. What is the council doing about it? That's the state of the road there. Greg, can I ask the question, why is the Dáil not sitting next week? They had 2 weeks off after the storm, and now apparently they need a week to prepare for their trips abroad for St. Patrick's Day. Our health system and our education system is in a total mess, they say, and the overpaid elected politicians are showing us how much they really care. They're out for a good time at the taxpayers' expense. They would argue, just for balance, Anne, that particularly at this time, they're out there forging new relationships and trying to drive investment into Ireland. Hi, Greg. What's playing out in the world is exactly what happens in a domestic violence relationship. The abuser calls the abused paranoid, exaggerating when they are telling the truth. Their reality is denied. It's really important for the world to see this and begin to recognise that. It's an extremely complex situation. Taking away the triple lock, says another, with, in effect, dissolve our neutrality and send our Irish men to war. Why can't Micheál Martin and Simon Harris look after the Irish people? They're spending millions to Ukraine, or sending millions to Ukraine for the war, and want to buy fighter jets. Can I just say the thing about the fighter jets? I would say anyone who is involved or has an interest in the Irish Navy, whereby we have boats tied up because there's not the staff to run them, where people are leaving in their droves, would be saying, what? Aeroplanes? Fighter jets? We can't even sort of staff and maintain the Irish Navy. I'm not speaking on their behalf, but I would imagine that's what some are feeling when they hear about an investment in fighter jets to sit at Shannon Airport. But they go on to say, why can't this money be put into our Irish system, like the hospitals and healthcare, homelessness and the housing situation is at crisis point now too. They're still supporting Ukraine after America pulled out. They couldn't win with them. Helping now in God's name. How now in God's name do they think they're going to make a difference without America? They're pumping money into Ukraine, but they need to look closer to home. I know of three small businesses that are closing their doors in the past 2 weeks. I wish the people would wake up and see they're destroying our lovely wee economy. But conversely, the Ukrainians perhaps were living their lives as we were, and all of a sudden they were invaded. Things can change. I'm not saying we ever would be. Or maybe if you're in Greenland and all of a sudden you think, well, why has America got an interest in taking us over? The United States very actively at the moment suggesting that perhaps Canada's the 51st state. A caller says, I'm disgusted with the government proposing to spend money on jet fighters and give 100 million to Ukraine with the state of our healthcare system. I think the estimates are between 400 and 750 million that we would contribute to this defence force for Ukraine. I think it's based on your GDP, and depending on how you look at it, that's how much we could be in the hole for. Another caller says the government are trying to eradicate the triple lock to dilute Irish neutrality. They're voting on it in the Dáil tomorrow. Ask Senator Tom Cloughan to speak on Highland on our neutrality. Anything that would help us better understand the triple lock system and the implications of removing the third part of that triple lock? Yesterday, me and my daughter were in Swan Park in Buncrana. We saw 10 or 15 rats running around. Ooh. A wee boy was playing on a fallen tree and a rat jumped out. There is frog spawn that kids play with there. There will be rat droppings, etc., in through it. I know a lady who said that she saw at least 50 rats at one point. I was just wondering who's in charge of Swan Park and its upkeep. And this is a health and safety issue, they say. The local schools, also children play there. I was disgusted. I don't know what the story is. Is this the habitat for these rats? Is there something attracting them there? Is this part and parcel of living in a rural community, or is it an issue beyond what this caller believes? In other words, do you share this parent's concern? I'm not in any way underestimating their concern, but just asking. Another caller says tourism has been wrecked by government policies. Ireland is now too expensive and too dangerous for tourists to come here. I think what they're referencing there is a 25% decrease in visitors in January. And, you know, the powers that be need to look at that. Why is that? Is it going to be picking up throughout the course of the year? Or is this going to be the pattern through 2025? You know, 25% is a big drop year on year in a month. Why is that? Everyone will have their reasons, I suppose. Via email, I'll come back to that. That is a request. Greg, having worked in traffic management in Donegal and other parts of the country, I can tell you that the council and these companies have no regard for motorists. Please get someone on from the council and ask them why a lot of this work cannot be done at night. The truth is that the council will not pay the extra money for night work. Also, a lot of road work down the country does not start till 9:30 and stops around 3:30 to let work and school traffic flow up. Here, they close the roads at 7 a.m. and they can still be closed at 7 p.m. in the evening. They conclude that it is a joke. Hi, Greg. Did the journalist that asked Zelensky why he's not wearing a suit and shirt and tie in the presence of President Trump ask Elon Musk the same question? No, but he is part of a very conservative couple. His wife, I believe, is a blogger and what have you, so they come at it with a certain angle. So of course not, because Elon Musk is a darling of the right, so to speak. I'll come back to that. Greg, for years, American money, billions of dollars, has been funding a lot of the Irish initiatives, projects and government-led schemes via the EU. Trump has now cut off these billions of dollars to the EU, Ireland, leaving a massive funding black hole, which will manifest very acutely in the next 2 years, they believe. Trump has specified that Irish neutrality must be dissolved to enable the Irish to participate in US military campaigns, and our political representatives are currently in the process of capitulating to Trump's demand in an effort to save face and keep a proportion of the American billions still flowing. I'm not really, I haven't heard that before. That's a new one on me. We are also big buyers from America. We buy an awful lot of American stuff, and we support an awful lot of American companies too. I think we're third or fourth or fifth in that regard, which is quite remarkable for us for a small country. So, you know, it's two-way traffic. I don't know if Trump cutting money to USAID, if that's what you're referencing, is going to directly impact Ireland. I think if the conversation of tariffs comes in, certainly that could be more problematic. I haven't heard any reference to Donald Trump talking of Ireland foregoing its neutrality for what's there left. But we shall see. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I just haven't seen it. I'm joined on the programme now by Peter Casey. Good morning, Peter. Thank you for your time today. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good to have you with us again. And you are chucking your hat back in the ring. You have confirmed your intention to run in this year's presidential election. Why so, Peter?
Well, I think there's a lot of things going on at the moment in Ireland, Greg, you know, and I think that if you look at what's happening, you know, we do have a serious problem. We're getting too much influence from Europe, and, you know, the Irish government is really not in a position to make very many decisions about anything. The president has the ability to, you know, to really bring power back to the county councils. Just to give you an example, you know, if the president were if Michael D. Higgins was to show up in Donegal and put his finger in the crack of a mica house, it would bring attention onto the whole mica issue, you know. So the presidency has got a lot of power that has never actually really been used. And I just believe that you know, we need to change the balance of power. There's far too much power in European Parliament. There's far too much power in Leinster House. And we need to bring power back to local government.
How do you do that through the Office of the Presidency, though? I can understand
you show up at county, show up at county council meetings. You know, you hold conferences in Áras an Uachtaráin. You invite all of the county councillors twice a year up to the Áras an Uachtaráin, and you give them a microphone. The real power of the presidency is the power of the microphone. The president, under the constitution, of course, he's not able to contradict government policy, but he can show up at a county council meeting and give the microphone to the Cathaoirleach and ask the Cathaoirleach, what's on your mind, you know, and give the microphone and the voice to the county councillors.
Yeah, most of the county councillors, though, are members of certain parties that their leaders
not
could
all of them.
No, it says most of them are. Where, you know, the parties could exercise a whip and say, look, this is not really how we see the role of president and blah, 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 blah. Could you see that happening? Is that something that would bother you?
You know, some of the Cathaoirleachs will listen to the parties and some of them won't. You know, some of them will actually turn around and say, look, this is what's happening in Cork, or this is what's happening in Donegal, you know.
What's your position, Peter, on Ireland's, you know, neutrality?
I mean, it's nonsense. We're not neutral. I mean, we do take sides. Obviously, we chose Ukraine over Russia, you know, and the whole nonsense of the triple lock means that, you know, Russia and China have got authority over Ireland's international policy as to where they can send troops. So, I mean, it's just we need to wake up to the reality that the triple lock is just self-imposed handcuffs, as it were, on Ireland's ability to decide our own foreign policy.
So do you believe then that we should be less neutral? Because, you know, I mean, obviously we're not politically neutral currently.
You can't be neutral if you're a sovereign state. If you're a sovereign state, you have to make decisions, and you have to make decisions to defend your borders. You have to make decisions to protect your borders. You have to make decisions about who you let into your country and who you eject from your country. Otherwise, you're not a sovereign state. So we, you know, there's no, it's nonsense to say that we're neutral, because we do take decisions. We just don't pay up our.
So do you think we should be more active, i.e. if there were a European army then as part of a European Union, whether you like it or not, that we should be contributing people to that if we're giving up on neutrality?
Absolutely, we shouldn't have neutrality. You know, if you're a sovereign state, you can't be neutral. You have to make decisions that affect your sovereignty. And therefore, you know, we have to contribute to our own defence. And, you know, it's nonsense that we're relying on we're basically relying on United Kingdom and America for our defence. You know, we should start making decisions about our own national sovereignty.
I think a lot of people that you sort of may have engaged the last time out, or indeed might have liked your comments in terms of the role of president, you may have lost them with your commentary that, you know, Irish men and women could be theoretically sent to the front line to fight a war against Russia.
You know, look, if a war were to break out between Russia and Europe, you know, you can be certain that the very first target would be Shannon because of the airport and the American base there. So, you know, we essentially, as long as we allow American troops and to use Shannon as their base, we're not neutral. And therefore, you know, we might as well just own up and accept the fact that we are not neutral, and we should pay for our own defence. If we're a sovereign state, you should pay for your defence.
You also would like to exercise the power of pardon and commute sentence. And I think you mentioned Enoch Burke as one of the first that you would have pardoned right from the beginning? I'm not sure if, I presume you've researched this and you believe the President's office has this authority, but
of course, yeah.
But why do you want the be able to pardon and commute sentences?
Well, I wouldn't pardon him now because I think what he has done is he's been so disrespectful of the legal system, and you know I don't know. I think he has a little bit of a screw loose, quite frankly. You know, anybody who's as intelligent as he is, who wants to spend so much time in jail, doesn't make any sense. I supported initially his stance when he took the stance about the whole trans situation, you know, being forced to call students by they or him or they or whatever. But, you know, I think you cannot have people disrespecting the judicial system. And, you know, otherwise you've got total chaos, you know, and therefore I would have pardoned him the very first time, the very, like, day one or day two, but now that he's actually been so disrespectful of the judicial system, no, I absolutely would not pardon him.
And I only brought that up because you referenced it in another interview. Just in terms of our spending on defence, because you say we need to start paying for defence, which means the people listening to this show need to start paying the defence. I mean, do you have a sort of a percentage of GDP you believe we should be spending on defence? You know, we see in Britain they're upping it to, what, 3.5% of their GDP over the course of the next couple of years. Where do you think our spending should be?
I think we should probably match whatever Britain is paying. We're one of the richest countries in Europe. We can certainly afford it, you know. I mean, we've got, obviously, we have a massive surplus this year. I think we can at least afford 2%. But, you know, I think that the reality now that Trump has said to Europe, you're on your own, and America doesn't want to pay for Europe's defence anymore, which was what came out in that embarrassing display in the Oval Office there on Friday.
And it's an interesting one because some of what Donald Trump stands for, you support, but you're very against how things unfolded in the Oval Office on Friday. Obviously, it was kind of Vice President J.D. Vance got the ball rolling off the back of some pretty loaded reporters' questions, but Mr. Trump obviously had an awful lot to say to Vladimir Lezensky. I can't remember the man's name. That is crazy. Yeah. But anyway, Zelensky, I beg your pardon.
You were an American, you know.
Okay.
I would have thought. But, you know, I've been a big supporter of Ukraine from day one. I even went over to Warsaw to try and get a visa to volunteer. So I actually flew to Warsaw. And I was building, converting one of the buildings for Ukrainian women and children in Bunkrana that I owned. I believe we have to support Ukraine because if Putin wins, he's not going to stop Ukraine. He was going to go down and he was going to free up Transnistria, Moldova, and then the Baltic states would have been next, and probably Finland, you know, and Poland, perhaps, you know.
Okay.
I mean, I believe we have a huge responsibility to support Zelensky.
All right, listen, we'll chat again, I'm sure, as the race actually unfolds, but your hat's very much in the ring now. Peter Casey, thank you very much.